If you want to, you can go ahead and turn to the book of James. And can I get a little volume on the mic here? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Are you blessed this morning? Give him some praise. If you ever miss a week, up here and you're wondering what we talked about, you can always go to the website. We always try and upload the sermons for you. We try to have a new one each and every week for your spiritual growth and encouragement. So you might want to check that out. There we go. Okay, so turn to James chapter 2. We're going to be in verse 20. So 7 weeks now. This is our 7th week in this study in James. Be honest. Be brutally honest. No, never mind. Don't do that. Are you being blessed with this study?
Amen.
Yeah, and we do need to be honest. I know nobody's bored with it. What? It is, man. This is awesome stuff, man. I love it. I love getting into it with you guys. I love doing my preparation for it. I love the book of James. So, you know, James has got this whole thing going on, you know, that Christians need to be bearing some fruit. Amen? That Christians need to act like Christians. If I'm a Christian, if I am a saved person, then there's going to be some works attached to my faith. Amen? I'm going to do the things that the Lord wants me to do. Remember, what is it? John 14:15. If you love me, you will do the things I command. So if I'm a changed person, if I have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, then increasingly so, I'm going to be about my Father's business. I'm going to be bearing that good type of fruit. Amen? So that's what we've been talking about for the longest time. And I don't know about you guys, but this stuff has been super, super convicting to me. Can I get a witness? Are you guys with me on that? Okay. Okay, so let's jump right into it. James 2 and verse 20 is where we're going to start. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person? Can you believe James is saying that? He's writing this letter to Jewish Christian people, and he's anticipating, rightfully so, he's anticipating that some people aren't going to agree with what he's saying. You know what I mean? And this is just that important. Okay, this isn't something that we can get wrong. Amen? That we have to understand this, that if I am truly a saved person, then my life is going to show that type of fruit. Amen? So James is trying to drive this point home. He's taking off the gloves. He's going for the jugular. Guys, it's this important. You got to understand this. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? You hear that? There's that. I mean, we've been talking about this for 7 straight weeks now. This is the deal. If I am a Christian person, right? If I'm a Christian, then I am going to bear good fruit. Amen. Now, let's understand this. Let's keep in mind it's not works that saves me. Okay? That's what the pagans believe. That's what the false religions believe. That's what the cults believe. If you one day choose to leave this church, not that we want you to, but people move away and the Lord moves people to other churches and stuff like that. But if you happen to find yourself in a church in another town or down the street and the preacher man says you have to do a certain amount of good works to be saved, okay, you need to just kindly step out of that church and go find you one that preaches the Word of God. Okay, because that's not how it is. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. It doesn't matter what your grandma said. Okay, I'm talking about what the Word of God says right here. It doesn't matter how many good deeds you do, how many old ladies you help across the street. That is not going to save your soul. Amen? Are y'all with me? It's not about that. It's about accepting that precious gift. Amen? But now that I'm a saved person, I am thankful. And I want to be that blessing to a lost and dying world. Remember that those two really awesome commandments? Love the Lord your God with everything that you are. Remember that? And love your neighbor as yourself. So, increasingly so, I'm not going to be able to turn away anymore at the things I see. Amen? When I see a need, I'm going to want to do something about it. Anything I can do about it. Now, I might not be able to do much more than pray about it, but I'm going to seriously pray about that. Amen? I'll tell you this, I know I've shared this fairly recently, but I have to kill 45 minutes or you guys will get spoiled. No, I'm playing. But this is true enough, man, and I just want to share this with you that in the mid-90s, or in the late 90s, there was a life change in me, okay? I was off with my father. I'm going to try and not cry. I was off with my father up in New England, and he was ministering. And early that day, we were in Cape Cod. This young man, I think he was a couple years older than me, came up to me, and he was a member of this church that my father had been preaching in that week. And he asked me, was I saved? And my father was right there beside me. And I knew in my heart I was not saved. I knew it. And I could not lie about something that serious. My father standing beside me, and I know he did not want to hear these words. But I wasn't going to lie to this guy, and I said, no, I haven't made that decision yet. Now, keep in mind, I knew Jesus was real. I knew what he had done for me, but I was knee-deep in sowing my wild oats and all that jazz. And I'm not making an excuse for you, but I'm not going to lie to you guys either, okay? And my dad must have went to praying, man. He didn't say nothing about it. He must have went to praying because that night at the church service, I gave my life to the Lord. And I mean, he must have got on his knees in that motel room. I'll never know. But I got saved in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. I'll never forget it. And it wasn't that my whole life changed where I automatically had a heart for a lost and dying world, but this is what happened increasingly. So I began to get a burden for other people where my life up until that point was 100% just about me. You know what I'm saying? Can anyone relate to what I'm talking about? Okay. Well, that's what happened in my life. Once I got back to Milton, things started changing. It's not that I put everything away right away, but the things I was comfortable with doing that never bothered me before began to give me a bad taste in my mouth. You know, I began to see things differently. I was never comfortable anymore in the world after that point. The things that I was trying to dabble in and straddle the fence, it didn't work anymore. I felt out of place. Amen? Can I get a witness? And as time went on, there was fruit that was being born in my life. You know what I mean? I told you about this. I drove by the nursing homes, and I never, ever thought about nursing homes before. I drive by them, man. I hate to be in one of them places. You know what I mean? But, you know, I was a young fella. But you know what? It didn't take too long, man. I couldn't stop thinking about them. Until eventually I had to walk in there and start talking to people and encourage people and just showing people. All I knew was just to try and show them through my life that Jesus loves you. You know, that you haven't been forgotten and that stuff. And I'm not bragging about myself. I'm just trying to make a point that once you're saved, there's going to be works involved in your life. You're going to start doing what the Lord wants you to do. And I'll say it like this. If there's no fruit on your tree, then something's wrong. If there's no good fruit on your tree, then something's wrong. Amen? All right, that's just how it is. Okay. Is everybody fine? Is everybody doing okay? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so we got verse 20 down here. Now, James is going to give us awesome, awesome examples, man. I love James's style, man. You know, he's going to give them two examples right out of the Old Testament. He's talking to Jewish Christians, so this isn't going to be some crazy thing that they never heard of. They're going to know these people. They know all about these people. Amen? So let's get into it here. 2 in verse 21, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? Okay, so everyone knows the story about Abraham and Isaac, right? For those of you that don't, Abraham was a friend of the Lord's. Through Abraham and his offspring, we get the nation of Israel. Abraham didn't have a child. So we might wonder, well, how in the world is God going to make a nation out of a man that doesn't have a child? Well, God blesses him with the child, and obviously Abraham loves this child, okay? And one day, God tests Abraham and says, I want you to sacrifice your child. I want you, now let me just say this, let's stop right here. If you hear a voice telling you to sacrifice your child, that is not God, all right? That is not God. This was God talking to Abraham, but if you're hearing anything kooky, crazy like that, you don't have to call me to pray with you. We don't have to have a special meeting about it. You need to go get some help right now. Amen. Can I get a witness? And of course, we would love to pray with you about that. But anyways, God tests Abraham. Now, keep in mind, God knows everything going on in Abraham's life. God knows what Abraham's going to do. So the test isn't for God to see where Abraham is it? The test is for Abraham to see where he is with God. You know what I'm saying? When you're going through a trial, when you're going through a storm, God knows what you're going through, and he loves you, and he's committed to you. He's not trying to hurt you. He's not trying to rain on your parade. He's not trying to mess you up. He loves you very much. Amen. Are you with me? But he's allowing you to go through these things to see where you are in your relationship with the Lord. Amen. Does that make sense this morning? Okay. So anyways, Abraham is commanded to offer his son up as a sacrifice. Okay, and he goes to do that, and the angel of the Lord stops him before this happens. But see, he was obedient. See the work there? He had a relationship with the Lord. He put his faith in the Lord. Amen. Matter of fact, he went from Abram to Abraham. Okay, so when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become a new creation in Christ also, don't we? So Abraham, he's a new guy, a new creation. He's got his faith, his trust, his hope in the Lord. So he's got that relationship. And out of that, we see the obedience to what God tells him to do. Are y'all with me so far? If I love the Lord, I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. Are y'all with me? James 2 and verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? There it is again. It's not the works that save. Okay? But because I love the Lord, I'm going to be obedient to what the Lord tells me to do. If you're not in a relationship with the Lord, if you're not in a loving relationship with the Lord, you're not going to be obedient to what his word says. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you can't do good deeds or good things if you're not saved. But somewhere in the back, there's going to be a selfish motive. Does that make sense? Even if it's, I mean, save the whales, you can help baby turtles cross the street without getting run over so they can go in the ocean. You can do these sorts of things, and those aren't bad things. You can even feed the homeless and feed the hungry and stuff like that. And it might not be to get your name in the lights. It might not be to get a pat on the back. But somewhere there is something that is selfish about it, even if it's just so you feel good about yourself. So you can sleep good at night. Hey, I'm a good person. If there is a God, you know what? He's going to look at me feeding the homeless on that Thanksgiving day, and he's going, yeah, come on up here. I saw what you did. It's all good, man. Respect. It's not going to be like that. Amen? You got to have that relationship with the Most High God. And once I am a saved person, I'm going to begin to bear good fruit. Amen? And it's going to be out of a pure heart. It's going to be because I love the Lord. I'm going to begin to love my neighbor like myself. Amen. Y'all with me? Okay. Have I left anybody behind? Okay. You know, when I love the Lord, I'm going to be obedient to his word, and I'm going to practice that tough obedience. You know what I'm talking about? It's not no joke when God says to Abraham, hey, I need you to sacrifice this son that you never thought you would have. Amen. So when I love the Lord, I'm going to be obedient to the Lord in those tough things, the things that don't even make sense at the moment because I'm trusting in the Lord. And that's how we need to be as well. Amen. I want to love the Lord so much that I want to do the tough thing. You know what I'm saying? When my pride has been hurt, amen, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to offer forgiveness when in the natural, it doesn't look like this person deserves my forgiveness. Amen, because I want to be obedient to what this book says. Amen, y'all with me? I mean, how many of you guys know about Corrie Ten Boom? Man alive. I was reading about her, and I knew all this stuff, but when you read her story, it just kind of socks you in the belly. And you feel so trivial, you feel so silly, rather, about the things that we hold on to. You know, okay, real fast, Corrie Ten Boom, was in a German concentration camp because her family, her and her family, were hiding Jews during World War II. She was from Holland, and the Germans occupied Holland. So she was in this prison camp with her sister, and they had to do these horrible things. And there was this one prison guard in particular. Obviously, she thought she'd never see him again. But like 2 years after the war, she was in Munich, Germany, I believe, in this bombed out building. They were in the basement, and she was teaching these Germans the word of God, talking to them about forgiveness. You see what I'm talking about? The tough thing. I love the Lord, so I'm going to do the tough thing, the thing that doesn't even make much sense, but his word says I need to do it, therefore I better do it. Amen. Y'all with me? She was talking to these Germans. These people represented the rape of her country. You know what I mean? The murder of so many people in her land, including her own family. You know, this is like 2 years after the end of the war. She's back there preaching the word of God, ministering on forgiveness. And at the end of the service, everybody's rushing out. And this one guy, kind of hefty, is like coming up, parting everybody. He's got to talk. He's got to talk to Corrie ten Boom. And Corrie ten Boom realizes who it is. And she starts having this flashback, man. And when you read this, you can, the way it's written by this woman, you can feel her pain. You can feel her heart begin to beat and the anxiety, you know, just of what's going on when she realizes that this man coming towards her was this heinous, evil, at one time, prison guard from the concentration camp that she was in with her sister. And remember, she just preached about forgiveness. And this man sticks out her hand, this man sticks out his hand, and says, I heard you talk about such and such concentration camp. I used to work there. And Corrie ten Boom is like blown away, and she begins to start fumbling in her purse. She just can't bring herself to shake the guy's hand. But she knew God said, I have to forgive him. I have to forgive him. And her mind begins to race about how she was forced to parade naked in front of these people and how embarrassing it was and how skinny and bony her sister was when she was naked, how they had to walk in front of these people and how just horribly embarrassing this was, and that her sister died and her family was, you know, killed and all this stuff. But she reached out her hand in obedience because she loved the Lord. And she knew this is what the Lord says I have to do. She reached out her hand, shook the guy's hand, and the power of the Holy Ghost just flooded over her. You know what I mean? See, God wants to change our lives, man. So God will ask us to do some stuff that on the page, it may look as crazy as sacrificing your son or something. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this does not make any sense. You don't know what this person has done to me. You don't know. God knows everything. He knows everything. He knows what it feels like to be betrayed. He knows what it feels like to give up his only son for a bunch of ungrateful people. You know what I'm talking about? So he says, you do this so you'll be blessed. You do this so you can encourage other people. You do this so I can use you. Amen. So he doesn't want us to be burdened with any of this stuff. So if we love the Lord, we're going to be obedient to the Lord. Amen. Can I get a witness? Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? I love the Lord. I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. Amen. James 2 and verse 22. You see that faith was active along with his works. Here we go again, man. I love the Lord, so I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. Amen. The good works we do demonstrate, listen to this. The good works we do demonstrate that we have been justified by our faith in Jesus. The things I do shows the world that this man, there's something different about this person. You know what I mean? Because I'm not doing it to be seen. Does that make sense? But because I love the Lord, I can't look away anymore. I want to do something about this situation. Amen? Y'all with me? Okay. You see that faith was active along with his works. Faith in the Lord, bearing fruit. And faith was completed by his works. Well, hold on, Paul. You can't have it both ways. That sounds an awful lot like he's saying the works Abraham did put him over that magic level to now where now he actually belongs to God. But it doesn't mean that at all. And people have got caught up in this and been like, I'm of Paul. No, I'm of James. I'm of Paul. I'm of James. Because Paul says grace and James says works. James is not saying works. James is trying to drive the point home that he's saying the same thing Paul says. And Paul's saying the same thing James is saying. If you love the Lord, you're going to be about his business. Amen? Y'all with me? Okay. And faith was completed by his works. Now, we have to dig deep right here because that word completed in the original language, it's not saying he reached that magic line, now he's saved because he's done enough good deeds. That word completed means a level of maturity, a place of maturity. Amen. So Abraham was mature enough in his walk in the Lord that when God said, hey, I need you to sacrifice your only son, he was able to be obedient to what the Lord asked him to do. Does that make sense? That's the place we are shooting for, guys. You know what I'm saying? We want to be at that place to where whatever difficult thing the Lord asks of us to do, we realize, I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? I can step out of my comfort zone because the Lord cares about this person. I can step out of my comfort zone because I love the Lord. I'm devoted to the Lord, and he has given me a burden for my neighbor. And I can't sleep until I step out and do what he's called me to do. Can I get a witness? We want to do that. We want to change the world, don't we? We want to be what God's called us to be. Your own little world, your own little sphere, your workplace, your home. We want to set that godly example. We want to set that godly standard. Amen? Y'all with me? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 23. Let's go to the next slide. Does anybody else feel like they're about to pass out? Just me. Okay. Okay. God is good no matter what, right? James 2 and verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. Okay. So, Paul, is this saying that he was considered righteous? Because if I read it and I'm not careful, is this saying that he was considered righteous or that he belonged to God because he did the good works, because he was willing to sacrifice his son? That's not what it's saying. Well, how do you know it's not saying that? Because when I read it, that's what it looks like to me. Okay, let me read it again. Okay, and the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. That's us as well. We believe God is who he says he is. We believe in his son. We accept him. We turn from our sins. And guess what? We're saved people, right? Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Okay, Abraham was considered righteous. God said, you are righteous years before he even ever had a kid. You see what I'm saying? So surely years before he was told to offer up that kid and years before he ever was obedient to walking up that mountain and was going to actually sacrifice that kid because the Lord told him. So here is the thing that James is saying. You are saved by grace. You are saved by faith in the Lord God. Amen? You accept Jesus. Now I'm a saved person. But because I'm saved, I know I'm beating this into the ground, but I'm just following the text. You know what I mean? And if James keeps going over it, and guess what? We need to let it sink in. You know what I mean? Because I love the Lord, amen, I'm going to be obedient to his word. Amen? Because Abraham was considered righteous for believing in God, for not believing that God existed. You know what I mean? Even the demons believed that. But he put his faith, his trust, his hope in the Most High God. Amen? But through that, because of that, he wants to be what God's called him to be. I want to be obedient to the word of God. I want to bear fruit. Amen? I don't want to play favorites. I want to forgive. I don't want to judge somebody because the sin that entices them is completely different than the sin that entices me. Amen? I want to bear good fruit. God is good, right? Is everybody cool? Have I lost anybody yet? Okay. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. So listen. God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac in Genesis 22. Okay, but Abraham was considered righteous way back in Genesis 15. Genesis 15 and verse 6 on your monitor. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. So he put his faith, he put his trust, and the Lord. Amen. Y'all with me so far? And now, let's see what Paul has to say about it. Romans 4 and verse 3. For if Abraham was justified by works... See, these guys are not contradicting each other, James and Paul, Paul and James. Because that is an argument. That some people get caught up in that, okay? They're not. We just have to, do your own study, do your own research. And by all means, don't take my word for it, you know what I mean? But get into your own study, amen? Y'all with me? Because, you know, you can go to a church and a preacher can, you know, be handsome and good looking and probably be like the best speaker you've ever heard and could, you know, could mislead some folks, man. Let it not be so, right? Right, Houston? Not here, good buddy. Goodness gracious. Okay, so what are we talking about today? Okay, Romans 4 and verse 2. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying about the situation. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. So Paul just said the same thing. Abraham's works could not save him. Okay, he didn't work up to some magic level and boom, now he's righteous before God. The things you do, the good things you do, won't save you. Okay, Abraham couldn't do it. You sure couldn't do it. Y'all with me? Yeah. Put Abraham, as cool and awesome as he was, and he was a unique dude, right? You put him up to the side by side next to the creator of the universe. He ain't that cool. He ain't that hip. He ain't that unique. I mean, I'm talking about God is holy like no other. God is perfect like no other. Amen. And his standard is perfection. Okay. Abraham doesn't fit into any of those categories. But God considered him righteous when Abraham put his trust, his hope, his faith in God. Amen. Y'all with me? Yeah. Verse 3. For what does the scripture say? Paul's going to quote the same verse that James just quoted out of Genesis. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. We put our faith in God. We trust in him. We accept Jesus Christ. We're saved people. Now I got a job to do. And like I said, if you're going around town and it doesn't bother you that everybody's suffering or knee-deep in sin all around you, I'm not saying you get on your pedestal and you start telling people are going to hell unless the Lord tells you to do that. We got to be obedient to what the scripture says, but the Lord wants you to use wisdom. You know what I'm saying? We want to be obedient to what the Bible says. If we see something, it should be doing something in us. You know what I mean? Me and Rachel Jean will go for walks, you know, and happened in San Antonio's, and I was worried she was going to give all our money away. But, you know, we'll go for walks downtown Pensacola and stuff like that, and there's homeless people, and Rachel Jean will keep giving out money. I'm like, dude, chill out, bro. Parking ain't free down here, dude. What are you doing? You know, she'll be like, I mean, like, first homeless guy, here you go. Hey, man, you know there's going to be like 40 more of those before we get to our destination, you know. But see, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying you give all your money away to the poor. The Lord might tell you to do that. You know what I mean? You can start with me. But what I'm saying is if I am a changed person, if I am a new creation in Christ, when I see something, it should do something to me. And like I said, sometimes all you can honestly do is pray. But really pray. Don't use it as a cop-out. Don't use it as, you know, like not some fancy words. Be fed, be warm, yada, yada, be cool. God is good. But do what we can. And we pray for people. James is all about action, putting some feet to our faith. Amen. If I'm a Christian, I'm going to be bearing some fruit. Are y'all with me? Okay. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. James 2 and verse 24. Let's go to the, is it on there? It is on there. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, I become that new person, right? Aren't you glad? Aren't you happy about that? That you're not that person you used to be where it was all about you? You know what I'm saying? I don't like that person. Yeah, I do not like the person I used to be. And I'm not perfect now. You know, none of us are perfect. I'm probably a little better off in that area than most people in here. I'm playing. Pride comes before a fall. And do we have visitors? I don't think we have visitors, but y'all know I'm playing, man. You know that, right? Any old hoot and holler. I really ought not do that so much because then I get lost. But we're a new creation in Christ. Amen. And those listening, yeah, this will be the week that dude in Des Moines, Iowa, gets on the webpage and what's wrong with that feller down there? Okay, let's just start over. In the beginning, God created. James 2 and verse 24. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Okay, I love the Lord. I put my faith in him. I'm going to be doing what he's called me to do. I'm going to be bearing some fruit. The tree that has no good fruit might need to go kneel at the foot of the cross. Amen? Y'all with me? I mean, our faith is visible. Remember what James said? I'll show you my faith by my works. I'll show you that I belong to the Lord by the things I do. Our faith is actual visible. Our faith is actually visible by the things we do. Amen. We can be able, not that we want to look and judge other people. You don't know what is in anybody's heart. You know, you don't know what's going on in anybody's heart, whether they're feeding the poor or kicking a homeless guy. Anyways. You honestly don't. You don't know what you walked up on. You see, hey, don't. Never mind. But you know what I'm saying, right? Man, I'm just too silly today. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. So my faith is going to be visible by the things I do. Let's go to the next slide. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? Okay, now let's look at this. Our first example was Father Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation. Through him, we get Isaac, Jacob. We get the 12 tribes. And we have the nation of Israel. Now we have an outsider. We have Rahab, who is not an Israelite, you know what I mean, but is grafted into the family. Amen. She becomes part of the family of God. Amen. So let that be a little lesson to us. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew, a Greek, male, female, slave, free. Doesn't matter what your past was, because Abraham was a pretty hip, cool, happening guy. And now we have a woman who's a prostitute. You know what I mean? And guess what? She's part of the same family we're part of. Amen? So what we've done in our past, it's all been swept away. I belong to Jesus. It's all been thrown away. Amen? Isn't that good news? Okay. So Rahab was an outsider, but she puts her faith, her trust in Jehovah God as well. Okay. And I can back that up by Joshua 2 and verse 11. And this is, let me tell you a little bit about a story. Do I have time and tell you a little bit about this story? No answer means yes. No answer means yes, you do. Children of Israel, Joshua's in charge. Moses has passed away. They're going into the promised land. They got this big metropolis, this big city of Jericho. It's a walled city. Joshua sends out a couple spies to kind of search out the land, see what's going on, and specifically check out Jericho. So these two spies come into town. First, they go to the prostitute's house that is in the wall. Her house is actually built into the wall. Now, we don't want to judge them why they went there. They were on a mission for the Lord. They're probably a great place to go to find out information. So anyways, they're there. The king's men find out that some strangers are in town. Everybody's on pins and needles because the Israelites are about to come, and the reputation has already preceded them. I don't know if I said that right or not, but the Israelites were feared by these other people because their God was so awesome and so mighty. They heard about what happened in Egypt. They saw what happened to the two kings on the other side, and so they're freaking out. But this lady, this prostitute named Rahab, You think in heaven they still, never mind. I'm not going to go there. But this lady sees who they are, and instead of turning them in, she puts her own life in jeopardy, her own family's life in jeopardy, and hides these guys out. And then when the time is right, she helps them escape through her window. So anyways, y'all with me now? Man alive. So we see that in Joshua 2 and verse 11. And as soon as we heard, talking about the people of Jericho, and as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. So there it is. That's the skinny. That's the deal. They heard that the Israelites were on their way to Jericho. They see them right there, and they are filled with fear. See, isn't it funny that the enemies of the Lord are terrified of our God? Isn't that awesome? We need to realize that Satan and his minions are terrified of a Christian that fully puts his hope and trust and knows who he is in the Lord. Amen? Y'all with me? So I'm going to throw that in there. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, this is Rahab the prostitute giving a confession saying, your God is the one true God. Your God is the real God. All these little idols around here, they ain't going to save us when you guys and Jehovah God come here. You know what I mean? So I want to go with you guys. Amen. I want to be one of you folks. Can I get a witness? Yeah, any man of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens, above, on the earth, and beneath. So your God is the one true God. So we see this Rahab, the prostitute, giving a genuine confession of faith. But is she going to bear some fruit? Is she going to be that servant? Let's see. Okay. Now, verse 26. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead. Well, think about that. When that spirit leaves the body, there's no life in it. You know what I mean? We've all seen those. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. James is really trying to drive this home, man. If you love God, you're going to have some works. If you love God, you're going to do some things. You're not going to be able to look the other way. Amen. Rahab didn't look the other way, right? Abraham was obedient. Those are two awesome examples. And we want to be obedient to the Lord. Amen. A changed life is a life that obeys the Lord. Increasingly so, right? Not perfectly, but increasingly. Father God, we love you. We praise you. You are everything to us. Let us leave here encouraged and refreshed and excited to be in your house today and excited to be your servant, Lord God. Thank you that no weapon formed against us will prosper. Thank you, Lord God, that we know that in our heart that we are special. We are special to you, Lord God. And you make our crooked places straight, Lord God. Nobody else might not think we're special, but to the creator of the universe, we are special. You put much value in us, Lord. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, you know, we need volunteers, guys, for that reimagine thing Saturday. You think about it, pray about it. We'll be handing out food. We'll be helping out a lot of folks. We have men's Bible study tomorrow at 1:30 at Whataburger. Brother James needs to meet up with